55, the number 2, keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Rory Spencer and Rick Schmidt. Good morning, everyone. Well, I guess the big news right now is that remnants of Hurricane Florence, now Tropical Storm Florence, dumping tons and tons of rain, literally trillions of gallons in North Carolina and now South Carolina. There's already been some fatalities, unfortunately. Saddest one I saw yesterday was a mother and an infant killed when a tree, a very large oak tree, went down on their house. Fire department just could not get to them. Watched a lot of it live. Very sad. The father survived, at least so far. When he wakes up, I sure wouldn't want to be in his shoes. You know, imagine that, waking up to find your wife and new baby dead. Not a good thing. But anyway, there will be more deaths. It's just one of those things that goes along with that much water. The good part is the forecast did not hold true as far as the intensity of the storm. If that thing had come in near at 140, 150 miles an hour, the storm surges would have been much higher. The devastation would have been much greater. But this storm, folks, wasn't anything to be trifled with. Apparently, it's taken out most mobile homes in the area along the coast. Lori and I saw this in South Carolina. There was a group of mobile homes right by the entrance to our subdivision we lived in on Converse Court and Ladd's in South Carolina. There was 35, 40 mobile homes in there. Well, guess what? Surviving mobile homes? Zero. What a mess. You remember that, don't you, Lori?
Yes,
I guess Lori's not on the line.
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, good. Well, anyway, enough talk about the hurricane. Rick, you're on the line, aren't you, buddy?
Yes. Good morning. Yes, I am here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mrs. Spencer. With respect to the hurricane, but not at all with respect to the hurricane, and I said this on 911 on the air. I don't know how much crossover we have in the audience, but I am stunned to see how many people live in hurricane country and are completely unprepared for a thing like this, even though I want to suggest this hurricane took, what, about 2 weeks to cross the ocean?
And they've been watching it. At least 10 days. Yeah, it was super slow.
Well, I have a number of thoughts on this matter. Yeah, it was. It's always been slow, and now it's really slow. The kind of human being, the mindset of a kind of a person, and I wonder what percentage of people living, wasting my oxygen, are of this tribe, and that would be that you can be in the path of a hurricane. You can live in hurricane country. You can watch a hurricane coming right at you, listen to it and see it on the news every single day, and yet you don't have food, water, flashlights, generator. You got nothing. And suddenly, at the last moment, and this is, you know, on behalf of your family now, because you're the mom or dad in the family, right? And everybody's looking
right
to you, you run out there at the last minute and you can't get what you need. Well, I want to know, what were you doing with your time? What have you been doing for the last 2 weeks that was more important than keeping your family alive?
I want to throw one thing. I absolutely agree with you, okay? But I want to throw one thing into it. That is this, because I've lived in hurricane I started to say most of my life, but that's not true. We've lived here 30 years now. But I grew up in hurricane country. Here's the thing. When people don't have a lot of money, okay?
Yeah.
They tend to wait. They shouldn't wait as long as they do, but they tend to wait to see for sure where the storm is going. Okay?
Mm.
Because there's a track coming in saying it's going to hit in North Carolina, you know, sure. 2 days out, it could just as easily curve around and hit New Jersey or, you know, Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, this could be the same people whose retirement plan is buying lottery tickets.
Right, right. Now, I'm not saying they're right. I'm just trying to interject a little bit of the thought process.
See. Yeah, well, okay. I guess we could cut them a little slack just in case you're correct. And I'm sure you've described some people, you know, but at the same time, throughout history, we have called this natural selection.
Darwin effect.
Yeah, if you're not mentally and physically prepared to survive, you don't get to procreate, you don't get to move on, neither does your progeny. And so, it isn't me, you know, it's not just me making cruel judgments on certain people, but you know, it manifests itself in the real world as living and dying. So it isn't me. You know, the hurricane will select a certain number of people that it's going to waste. The problems, you know, I know you mentioned, I didn't think anybody had been killed yet, but you mentioned two. How many?
Well, I think there's six altogether.
Okay. All right. Well, it'll be
so far.
Once again, I don't want to sound morbid, even though I guess I am, but it'll be interesting as a scientific study to see how many this kills, because it's never the initial death toll that is the death toll. Yeah, like we said on Thursday, Maria, there were 64 people killed outright. And the death toll now is around closing in on 6,000. So,
right.
You know,
if that's
well,
true.
Numbers, yeah, the numbers vary between 4,645 and 6,000. And it just depends on who you're looking at. And that's 6 months later. So,
right.
And so Dr. Marquez says he blames it on no food, no water, no power, no phone, no adequate medical attention. So we're gonna have all those problems too.
Oh yeah. Now let me throw something in here, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now I'm gonna go way back to 1989 in our make believe Wayback Machine. Okay.
Well, I wasn't even born then. All right.
Right. But anyway, here's the thing, folks. The neighborhood that Lori and I lived in, we know for a fact, and this is just a neighborhood, one subdivision, probably 500 acres. We know for a fact that five people were killed in our subdivision and immediately surrounding it. The death toll for Hurricane Hugo was only supposed to be 49, okay?
Mm.
Now, we know for a fact this is wrong because local media reported 300 deaths in the week following Hurricane Hugo just from the cleanup and bodies found.
Yeah.
My question would be to our government, why not tell the truth of how many fatalities there really are? You know,
well,
I don't understand why they do this.
I watched a news clip of President Trump in Puerto Rico just last September, and, you know, I'm a Trump supporter, I guess. There are things he does that I do not like. I am not at all in favor of his economic policies and some other things that he's involved in. But he was down there throwing out his chest and bragging that only 16 were killed. And right after that,
well, he's basing that number on the information he's given, Rick.
I'd have some of my staff up against the wall after that because they make you look stupid.
Right, I agree. Now, we've already got a caller. We've got Jerry in Texas on line 5. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, folks. Good morning, folks.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm just wading through mud. We've got so much rain around here that it's plumb ecstatic. Everything's green. It's like spring around here.
I bet. I've seen it on the radar.
We've been through a dry spell. You talk about the hurricanes. Let's don't narrow it down just to hurricanes, folks. West Coast, you got the earthquakes. You know, here in Texas and up in the Midwest, you've got the tornadoes. Here in Texas, in the hill country particularly, there's nothing. I'm sure we've got creeks that's low water crossings that's underwater right now.
We have that every time we have a thunderstorm.
Oh, I understand. Wife and I bought a little old place back in the mid-70s, back over in the Flatland and Blackland east of 35. There's a little old Spring Creek Creek went through there. You could just step across it. And I was going to build a little cabin, and I got up about, probably 15, 20 feet above the creek bed. I'm going to build a little cabin. And I happened to talk to an old neighbor man that was one day that he's a farmer. He said, "What you fixing to do there?" I said, "Well, I'm going to build me a cabin right there." He said, you don't want to do that." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "I've seen water up above where you got your foundation piers set."
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? And, and I got thinking about it. I told wife, I said, "We're going to move up a little bit higher." Well, it took 3 or 4 years, but folks, that place when I was going to build that cabin was totally underwater. Now, the watershed on that thing was probably a mile and a half above stream.
Yeah.
But that water rolled down. Austin is a prime example. You've got Shoal Creek that goes through the northwest part of Austin. It floods Memorial Weekend, Day Weekend, several times. It flooded. It was businesses that had 6 to 8 foot of water inside the building. Clean it out, build right back. People don't pay attention. It can't happen here. I've got some prime property in southern Louisiana that I can show you real quick, cheap. People don't want to hear this sort of thing. Where I'm living now, I've got creeks on two sides of me. But I checked and asked just how high do these creeks get. Now, we've been in a situation that we've had to wait about 6 hours to get out. No biggie. But got good drainage. But people don't. It's like Rick said. Some of these people don't need in a gene pool. A friend of mine says, you can't fix stupid.
You
can fix, but stupid. It's just not hurricanes. You look up in different areas, people built below dams. Never enter their mind, we may have a dam failure one of these days. What are we going to do about that 20-foot wall of water?
It can't happen
down
here. No, it can't happen there. It can't.
Well, it happened here about 40 miles from us, a dam on what they call Tomsock Mountain gave.
Sure,
and
but that was
goodness,
somewhere else. That was somewhere else.
And folks, it don't have to be a big lake or a big dam. But anyway, I just, I've seen people build, in my lifetime, build on river bottoms that I've seen.
Well, that's about silly.
20-foot Yeah, well, you know, down on the riverbank in Whitehaven, and I've seen across the bridge that water was running right underneath the guardrail that had to be 20 to 30 foot higher than where they were building. And you tell them that, oh, that ain't possible. You know, and then they lose everything. I don't have no sympathy for them.
No, I don't either.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a jerk, you know. that's a given, but anyway.
It's kind of like the people in California just build their houses on the cliffs and just, you know, oh, mudslides aren't going to happen, and in the water it goes, you know.
Or they fall off in the ocean, yeah. Yeah, you know. We just can't get away from that view.
Eventually
you're going to be part of the view. Anyway, I'll let y'all get back to that. But, I feel for those people, especially the ones that think they're prepared for what's going on back east. I'd be hard pushed if I'm in certain areas where I'd want to evacuate and leave everything, especially if I felt like I was on high enough ground and had a substantial structure that would withstand certain things like that.
Right.
I can understand that. But some people that living in a mud hut down on a riverbank, water's going to come down 10 foot high. You need to get out. And they stay there? No.
You'll notice that in a lot of hurricane areas where people live on rivers, they build their houses on top of telephone poles for a reason. There is a reason they do that. It ain't for looks.
I've got my daughter's has a friend whose parents got flooded out on Lake Travis there in the edge of the hill country there in Austin. And they had built below the flood level. It's a flood control lake, huge lake.
Right.
But they got flooded out twice. They built their house. They kept their property, but they built on stilts. And I don't know, it's probably 18 foot above ground level. But they're 2 foot maximum flood stage. You know, we're not giving up our place, but we're going to protect our property.
And that's smart. And they probably do just fine by doing that.
Oh yeah, he built an elevator, like a freight elevator.
Right.
I think it's 6x6, 8x8 or something. So if, it looks like they're going to get flooded, that area. They don't wait for warnings. They go ahead and they bring everything down that they're going to need to sustain themselves somewhere till the water goes back down and they can get back to their property. You know.
Right.
And the beauty part about it, they don't have to pay flood insurance. They pay home insurance. You know, hello? I don't know. I get off my soapbox. I enjoy your show as usual. And y'all a good day of spider callers like me.
Thank you, Jerry. No, You're welcome to call anytime, buddy.
Yeah, we rely on people like you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Lori, who do we have next? Okay, we've got Art off the grid on line 3. Good morning, Art. Good morning, Art.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I have to agree with the previous caller there. I don't have any sympathy for these people. You know, you take New Orleans, for example, okay? You have this city that, first of all, is built on top of what was originally swampland. It's also 20 foot below sea level, okay? So when you live in a city that's built upon swampland that's below sea level, why are you complaining when you get flooded out? Now, we look at Hurricane Katrina. Apparently, people in North Carolina along the coast didn't learn. When you have a hurricane bearing down on you, you don't sit and wait to find out where it's going to go. Just simply get the hell out of there. If it misses your time, your area, great. It misses your area. You can go back home tomorrow.
Hey, Art, hang on for a second. We got a break, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. 800-313-9443.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
These are uncertain and very unstable times we live in. We are bombarded daily with the realization that our global economy is on the verge of collapse. Terrorists threaten our way of life and very existence. Natural disasters are increasing to levels never before seen by man. Our overall quality of life is threatened. More and more people are being proactive and are researching how they and their families can survive in the event of any disaster, natural or man-made. Gathering valuable life-saving information and keeping it protected is key to survival. Now, you can keep your valuable life-saving information secure and close for quick access with our Digital Survival Library USB drive. This means no scrambling around to find important information, as it is all right in front of you at a moment's notice. For further information and to order your Digital Survival Guide for only $59.95, go to our website, ruralsurvival.info. That's ruralsurvival.info. Do so today. You'll be glad you did.
We are on RBN. We've been talking about being prepared for the hurricanes, tornadoes, disasters in general. And right now we're speaking with Art Off the Grid on line 3. Go ahead, Art.
When you live in an area like that and you get flooded out, I don't know why you're surprised, okay? Now, with regards to Florence and North Carolina, you got this hurricane. She gets up to, I think, what, she finally made it up to a Category 4 at one point, and then she was downgraded right. A little bit. And I think she was Hurricane 3 when she made landfall, something like that. But people still stay. And now we hear about people dead, people stranded, people looking for rescue. I do not understand why we as a species that claims to be so intelligent continue to waste our time and our resources on trying to save stupid people. I believe in the survival of the fittest. This is how we ensure that we will have a good, strong species that will survive no matter what happens. Now, that doesn't mean I don't feel bad for these people. I kind of feel bad for them, but you know what? If you're that stupid, I'm not going to lift a finger to help you. And I'll give you a perfect example. When I was out in Missouri a little over a year ago, it was the spring of 2017, and a woman, claiming to be a off-the-grid kind of prepper kind of gal, she came to stay out there where we were at, and we got flooded. Now, she had to cross a creek to get to her place where she was trying to homestead. Well, unfortunately, you got to cross a dry creek bed, which is a flood runoff after severe rain and the spring thaws. Well, she was told before she ever even got near that washout there, don't go down through there. It's flooded. You can't get across. What does she do? She's got an autistic child who's 17, her son, autistic, telling her, Mom, bad idea, Mom, bad idea, Mom, bad idea. What does she do? She tries it anyway, and damn near kills her and her son. Then she looks to us to come rescue. I stood on the banks, and I stood there. I went out, and I got him, brought him back, but I made no effort to help her. Why? Stupid. I'm not helping stupid. I don't have time to help stupid. I'm sorry. I just don't believe in helping stupid.
Oh, man.
Well, and then they understand your point. You know, I've seen that before, Art, that type of thing. And I understand your feelings completely. I truly do. And at the risk of being politically incorrect, I'm even going to say I agree with you.
Well, we're bad people because we think that way.
Right. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Well, hey guys,
I was just going to say, Art, I'm not cutting you off, but we got somebody in North Carolina on the phone right now. Now, you're welcome to call back, Art, but I want to get to this caller and see what's going on there. Yeah. All right, Francis in North Carolina, line 5. Good morning, Francis.
Morning to you all. I hope you're doing well, wherever you are.
Doing well. How about you? Where you at?
Well, for one, since we're on the west side of Raleigh and not down at Ground Zero, as it were, in Wilmington and all that stuff, just simply observing what's going on via views, as it were, we've had a good bit of wind, a lot of rain, and so forth, ad nauseum, but at least we were prepared for it. We knew that it could be bad. So we took the precautions that were needed to prepare for that, so we didn't have an issue. I mean, as far as food goes, as far as water goes, filtration goes, and so forth, as well as should things get so bad as far as flooding goes, we were able to walk where we need to go to. And quite frankly, my husband even came up with an idea for the vehicle, should there be an issue with flooding for a vehicle. And I thought, okay. You know, I was surprised he came up with that idea because it never occurred to me because it was so simple, it was ridiculous. But, I have to agree with Art on one thing that I've heard so far, and I apologize for tuning in so late as I have. But, you know, when you have a child that's autistic and actually makes more sense than the parent does, that says a lot.
Doesn't it?
I mean, it stuns me to think that the autistic child makes more sense than the parent does. And the parent is supposed to have more common sense.
Right.
So,
well, but at the same time, it doesn't surprise you either, does it, Francis?
Actually, no.
That's the sad part.
I wonder about the gene pool. But, I've seen reports where people are doing some of the most silly things, and I'm like, well, let's see. Okay, mind the terrain of where your home or your homestead is at, regardless of whether you're in the city or out in a rural area, for that matter. Mining terrain when you first got the place and what could possibly happen if you have this kind of a scenario crop up. And so right now, I mean, the storm was sitting off the coast and spinning for at least a good 12 to 24 hours. I thought, okay, to begin with, this is kind of funky to start with that it's just sitting there and not coming on shore.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Now,
music.
Francis, do me a favor. Hang on through the break, okay?
Gotcha.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes, 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we're back, Real Survival here on RBN, and we were speaking with Francis in North Carolina. Are you still there, Francis?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. Oh, and by the way, I cannot speak for everybody in North Carolina's mom.
Right.
Hello, there you are. I cannot speak for everybody in North Carolina because I'm on the west side of Raleigh, the one main city north of Charlotte, or northeast of Charlotte. So my perspective is going to be very different than someone living in Charlotte or Wilmington or whatever have you, depending on what access they have, phone line-wise, internet-wise, or who knows what. But
right.
I find it really fascinating because people have had warning about it. As I mentioned before, the break, it seemed like as if the storm just stagnated and sat there for about a good 12 to 24 hours before actually moving on shore, as it were, as though it were waiting for orders as to where to go to or be directed to. Because
at
one time, I mean, because quite frankly, well, for one, it didn't do what a normal hurricane that I can remember does. I mean, a hurricane is free-flowing. There is no stop and
right.
go or whatever have you. Because, first of all, they had a project to go right straight through North Carolina and cut across Raleigh, so we were preparing for that.
Right.
And so,
you remember Hugo, don't you, Francis?
Oh, how well I do.
Yeah, Lori and I went through it, too, as I'm sure you've heard. Now, if you notice, when that storm came in, it came from the southeast, going northwest, And that sucker was going 35, 40 miles an hour when it hit the coast. It was over in one night. We were in Charleston. And, I mean, what a mess. But this one is just so different. So different.
Much. Well, when they changed the track of the storm, they actually showed where they changed it, where it went down the coast and then swooped around like a spoon and going up through Columbia or the center of south of the border, South Carolina, and back up around and up the almost up the Mississippi. That's actually going up the Appalachians, for that matter, as a tropical depression. So there are some maneuvers that make absolutely no sense with this storm, and the fact that basically the cloud cover itself, essentially, when it first came, before it even reached the coastline, was covering about three-quarters of both states altogether.
Right.
It was basically about the size of Katrina.
Now, it was a big storm.
Much, much.
It is a big storm.
It really made no sense. We're still observing it to a certain extent. Now, here is the funny part. A family that we know that lives south of the city here that has a farm, the gal that her and her husband live there, they've batten down the hatches for everything because they have livestock, sheep, and so forth and so on, nausea.
Right.
But her sister has a place on the on one of the inlet waterways. I'm not sure if it's strictly on the waterway or whatever, along North Carolina. Not on the Outer Banks, but more inland. And she decided that she could stay there with her little one, her fur babies or whatever, which she was offered to go and stay with them inland, about 100 miles or better. And she said, no, I'm going to prove it to myself I can handle this and, you know, do it on my own, because her husband had crossed over or divorced or whatever. I don't know what the situation was around that. But I called and checked and kind of find out that she's fine, she's good. And so only because she finally got her phone charged or whatever and gave her sister a call, whom I am friends with. And I actually, she was a sister and so forth. So she's doing good. Her babies and all that are shut up inside or whatever. So I'm like, well, hats off to her. She's still in my thoughts and so forth. Although I think she did a really silly move by doing that. But, you know, if she had to prove something to herself that she could do that without someone else being there with her, you know, I have to applaud her, but that's not the way to do it. I mean, there's several things that we got in preparation. I even bottled up additional water, even though it was from the faucet, from the city water, because we have filtration, so that was not a very big deal. And we did have moments where we actually saw a tinkering of the lights or whatever slightly here, especially yesterday, as it was still on the coast going down towards Florence, South Carolina, and so forth to go inward. We did have the lights kind of twinkle a little bit, you know, saying, okay, the lights, you know, are being, the electric is being played with. But, of course, now I'm going to jinx it by doing this, but knock on wood, we didn't have anything really major happen. Luckily, the drainage has worked really well around us, but we do have boots for, you know, that are rubber boots that are waterproof and so forth, so if we have to go walking through there, we don't run into an issue. But, no, the interesting thing is that when I mentioned about the vehicle and the idea that my husband came up with is that, and he really floored me with coming up with this idea, if you come across a curb on the roadway or a parking area, run the vehicle, the front of the vehicle, up on the curb where it raises at least a couple of inches off the ground. It may not be a lot, but it'll still keep your engine out of the water to a certain extent. So you don't have to worry about flooding the engine out or ruining the, some sort of mechanism in there. And I thought, you know, he floored me when he suggested that. I thought, you know, I never would have thought of that. So
I hear you. You know, that's a good idea. You
it
know,
is.
I knew somebody who bought his wife an Audi A4.
and she's kind of a wild woman. And she was, you know, nobody's going to get in her way. Going down the road, comes to a great big, it's been heavy rain, goes into a deep puddle and crack the engine block right down the middle.
Now, so, do it.
Oh, she did do it. That was the end of that Audi. Yeah, that was, they couldn't, the damage to the motor was used. So basically it totaled the car. So that was the end of that.
Ouch.
Yep. So it does happen.
That wasn't, yeah, I mean, she may have been a wild woman, but it's not a very bright move to make.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
well, most people don't stop and think, too, that their cars are computerized now, so it's just like spilling a drink on your laptop or, you know, your desktop. It's going to short out. You know, there's just no way around it.
Well, yeah, because, quite frankly, even though it's computerized, it's still electric, still susceptible to moisture.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can...
Those units are pretty well sealed, but if you soak them in water, they've had it.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it this way. You can own a computerized vehicle if your windows are electric and they run up and down with just the push of a button or a lever or whatever.
Yeah.
Depending on how much humidity you have in the air can affect how well the electric circuitry is to roll up or roll down that window.
We don't have too much of that around here, but I can imagine it being a problem.
Right.
Yes.
Well, Francis, we carry a spring-loaded center punch in our glove compartment, and not that we ever anticipate in getting in high water where the electric windows don't work, where we can't get out because of the pressure of the water pushing against the doors. We do have a center punch, and all we got to do is go to any corner of a window and push a button, and that window is gone. In other words, it shatters into a million pieces.
I carry two hammers.
Just make sure you take a deep inhale.
Too.
Yeah.
Just make sure you take a deep inhale of air first before you do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Otherwise, you'll be gulping water. No, seriously, that's a good idea. I mean, it may seem like something you will never have to use, but you know what? There was one gal we ran into at the food store. She said, well, I have to have my water. I mean, it was bottled water in a plastic bottle. I thought, oh, my gosh, what have they got in that water to start with? But aside from that, I said, well, you know, it's better to have it and not need it than the other way around.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you never know.
I agree with you.
You never
now,
know.
Even here, as high and dry as we are, we've got water purification stuff here. You know, it's buried in the top of our master bedroom closet. But guess what? We've got it.
There you go. At least you're covered. I mean, some of the things that I see, even in the stores that are locally here around Raleigh that I tend to go to, as of about Tuesday or Wednesday, almost a week before the storm hit, the shelves for bottled water were pretty much ransacked. If you went to, like, a Dollar Tree, dare I mention that, the whole area where they had their candles looked like they'd been pretty much ransacked. It's like people had lost their minds.
Well, I read a news report, I think it was in Charlotte, Francis, where people were actually getting in a fist fight over water.
That wouldn't surprise me. That wouldn't surprise me at all, because when the Weather Channel or some other news outlet starts talking about, well, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, and people start going losing their sense of common sense or reality, as it were, they start lashing out over the simplest things that they should have had prepared for earlier.
Right.
Exactly.
Their common sense just goes out the window. So they're going to resort to... I wouldn't even call it primal urges. I would refer to it as idiocy. It's like, you know,
I agree.
There's one thing such as etiquette, and there's such a thing as preparation.
Right.
So,
if people were smart, they would stop and say, okay, this is hurricane season coming up. I need to go to the store, and I need to start getting a little bit of, like, canned food, you know, dry food, propane for my grill in case I need to cook, you know, whatever.
Exactly. Very simple thing.
You know, to go and get things ahead of time, you know, a few packages of water to store in the house, you know, pick a corner in the house and stack them up or whatever, so you've got them.
There you go. By the way, it was also one thing, too, as well, is making sure that whatever wet food or dry food you have for your fur babies, whether it be canine or feline, making sure that you have plenty of that on hand so you don't run into an issue with that.
Right.
Also, one last thought for you, well, out of so many different there are, I did notice that a long time ago, probably the same happens now as it did then, you might have been able to get a bottle, a glass, 1 gallon bottle of, like, say, apple juice at the store. About a year or so ago, they used to be like $5 a bottle.
Right.
Now they've gone up to like almost $10 a bottle, a 1 gallon glass bottle.
Right,
because
there's their value of money. Remember now, though, Francis, according to our great leaders, the inflation rate's only 2%.
Oh, a great leader's my hind.
Yeah, I agree.
If they're such a great leader, then why is the country in such a mess as it's been for the past, if I were to say how long I remember it, I'd be giving away my age.
I understand.
I agree with most of the public. There needs to be a limit on how long they can sit up there in office, because if you can sit up there too long, then they forget why they're even there, except to put the money in their pocket.
Well,
I think
that's
60 days. 60 days would be fine.
I can live with 60 days. How about 30?
I'll go to the polls every 30 days. I'm fine with it.
Well, we've got two. Okay, an example. We got two that are running for the Senate House here in Missouri. Okay, one's been there, one's a newbie, and neither one of them need to be there. So my thought is, and I even posted this on Facebook the other day, neither one needs to be there. So what would happen if we actually just didn't vote for either one and left the seat empty? If so many states did that to representatives that have been there or are running that they don't trust to put there, how many seats would be empty, and how much would actually get done? You know, how much money would the government actually save from not having to put that paycheck out to them every year?
You're singing my song. I've talked about this years ago, that if people actually withdrew their vote and not go to the poll, you would see some major going on. You really would, and you just nailed it. You just nailed the whole issue. So, and I've been talking about that for years now. It's ridiculous. Of course, I at the time when I do, I get shrugged off. Say, well, you know, you got to vote and all this stuff. I said, no, I don't. I do not have to. If I don't think the candidates are worth the salt that's on my table, then I am not going to waste my time and my energy going to the vote to see which is the better actor.
Right.
Besides,
well,
I don't think there are ever going to be empty seats. I think you're just going to wind up reelecting the incumbent, which in our case means we get Claire McCaskill again.
I hope we don't put Claire McCaskill. No, I hope she's not back in there.
Come on, Miss Obamacare. Yeah, we're going to be in some deep squat if she gets back in here.
Well, you know what? The question is, who is putting the money in their pocket to put them in that position to start with?
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. That'll be George Soros. That'll be the DNC. No, there's no question about who's doing it. The question is, will we be taking America back, or will we not?
And we're also looking at the, you know, major health care groups contributing big time to these candidates. You know, social media. You know, it's coming into them by the billions, but I think the people are fed up. I personally give it a 50-50 chance here that Claire McCaskill will get her butt beat this time.
Indeed.
I hope
so,
but the guy running against her is no good either.
No, I agree he's not, but he's different.
But I'll take it. I'll take it over Ms. McCaskill any day.
There you go. I got a question for you. You might remember I mentioned about the storm that hit back in 2015 or 2016 that was flooding the middle part of South Carolina. It looked like a fire hose when they showed it on the Weather Channel.
Yes.
I'm finding it interesting they had this scenario, this storm going through the central part of South Carolina now, what, 2 or 3 years later, which I find interesting.
Yeah.
But you know what I found even more interesting is that in order for people to put in for funding there in downtown Columbia for repairs and whatever have you, as far as so-called insurance coverage goes from FEMA or whatever, people are willing to go for that, except for one problem. They were going to be expected to repay that back afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
So the question is, right now, the insurance carriers are not even bothering with, since they saw this storm coming in, the insurance carriers are not even bothering. Pick one, doesn't matter. Whoop, I hear the music.
Thank you. Well, Miss Francis, thank you for the call, Francis. Call back next week. We're going to change subjects in a minute.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Have a great one. Play hard.
You too.
We'll go to Mike in Kentucky when we come back. We'll be back in 3 minutes, folks.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I can't believe, I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back. You're listening to Rural Survival here on RBN, and we're going to go to Mike in Kentucky on line three. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, for a number of years, I tried to always keep one of these, like, first responder knives in my vehicle. So you're talking about that punch. Now, if you don't have anything better than that, that's better than nothing.
Absolutely.
But in the last rain of Hurricane Patricia, I rolled my Jeep about, I don't even know, 2.5 times or something. I'm hanging upside down in the dang thing, and my first responder knife is jammed in the headliner over on the passenger side. I can't reach it, And the thing about those things is they have a really neat little concealed razor blade where you can just slash through a seat belt. I was finally able to wedge my thighs into the steering wheel while I'm upside down and unlatch my seatbelt and get out of there. But the panic caused my blood pressure to shoot up something crazy, like 160 over 120. I was out walking around for like probably 10 minutes before the first responders got there. But, I was laying there hanging upside down going, why didn't I just put the dang thing into the guardrail? You know, I'm replaying the accident, and I thought, oh, this thing could catch on fire. I could get out of here. So the panic can be worse, you know, if you're thinking. But, I mean, those first responder knives are pretty cool rather than just a punch because you can do that. You can slash the seat belts. But the thing is, they got to be where you can reach them, or somebody in a car that's conscience can reach them. I couldn't get my hands in my pocket to get my pocket knife out or anything. And finally I just realized, I could wedge myself against the steering wheel and take my weight off of the seat belt latch to where I could actually unlatch it. So, I mean, that was a harrowing experience.
Well, I've seen a couple of the Batman movies. You just reach over and punch a button, and your first responder knife shoots right into your mouth. I saw it.
That's what I need. Yeah,
You need that. Where does he get all these wonderful toys?
He's Bruce Wayne. He's got $1 million that his parents left
him. He's got more than a million, yeah.
I know. But, he's got a ridiculous amount of money. But, this storm was messed with, and
I agree.
I encourage anybody to look at the timeline of that storm and look at the wind speed drop before the barometric pressure drops. That never happens with a hurricane. The wind speed dropped before the barometric pressure dropped when it dropped from about a Cat 3.5 down to a Cat 1. And I think that helped curve it south. But they did that to – I mean, if it has slammed – you just think about it for a minute. If you've got the technology to seed the southeast side of the storm and drop it from a Cat 4 down to a Cat 1 – you think that they wouldn't do that to go from $40 billion damage down to $10 billion? And if it steers it towards Savannah and Savannah gets $100 million worth of, or $500 million worth of damage, you got to keep that technology from being known about. But,
the thing is, everybody already knows about it, Mike. It's common knowledge. Well, maybe not in this country, but globally.
It's conspiracy theory. It's right, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. They can't do that.
Well, they
can
sure
people
do it.
Been hijacked.
China and the Chinese government brags about it.
Oh, they can do it, all right. Oh, they can do it.
Yeah, this storm was messed with.
They could put that in the living room if they want to.
Yeah, they could.
Well
it might be the Chinese government brags about. You know, they guaranteed snow for the Olympics they had in Beijing. How did they guarantee it?
I don't know. They shut down the rain for Paul McCartney's concert. The Soviets did that. They spent something like $2 million to make it rain before it got there. That's
exactly.
Everybody brags about
being able to do it.
Oh, yeah.
That was 17, 18 years ago.
On this.
Hey, guys, it's the top of the hour break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important.